Well, one of those who's been in the thick of the fire danger over the last few days and has been very much on the minds of many of us here at the ABC is former ABC executive producer and foreign correspondent Edmund Roy. He and his wife live on a property at Marlee, just outside Wingham on the New South Wales mid-north coast. Their house was right in the fire zone, but somehow it survived. Edmund Roy spoke to me earlier. Ed, obviously there are a lot of people here that were worrying about you. Take us to the first moment you heard fires were likely to threaten your property.
So this was on Friday when everyone was told to actually evacuate. So we got out of the home, drove to the Marlee Fire Hall, which is in the middle of a paddock, so it's pretty safe. We stayed there and we watched the fire burn through our valley. Ridges that are 100 meters high, trees on top of that, which are 40 meters high, completely burned to the ground. So you're watching it jump from one to the other for miles on end. By then, we realized that our house is probably gone, because when the fire hits a house, it changes color. And so you see that flare up and you suddenly realize that could be my house, that could be my neighbor's house. We don't quite know yet.
What was it like that moment when you thought your home had gone?
You know, people talk about it's only possessions. Don't worry about it. You're alive. You're breathing. That's the more important thing. But when I thought for a moment that my home was destroyed, the home that I had built with a lot of love and collected a lot of stuff over the years, when I thought that I had lost it, it is almost like losing kin. At that point in time, you crumble. As a human being, you crumble. It is the most visceral reaction you can possibly have.
So you say you were in the path of that fire. Was that the most frightening time when you could see it on the ridges?
That is not the most frightening time. The next day we came back home, and that night at 3 a.m. on my northern ridge, the fire started coming down. It came down to 25 meters from my back door. I was standing there with my hose, a garden hose, and that's all I had. My neighbor from across the road came around to help me. So we stood there watching it. Luckily, the wind was in the right direction. Flames were going up about 30, 35 meters. We watched it take, it snaked behind all of that, the perimeter, the clearing. It came around the serpent, around the backyard, came back up my front yard, took out my gateposts, and we stood there with a fire hose and we put that out. We fought a fire on the northern side, the southern side, and on the eastern side in the space of 12 hours. I did not sleep for 3 days.
It sounds absolutely terrifying with being in the path of this massive fire with just a garden hose.
This is the dichotomy. This is the dilemma. Do you go and save yourself, and because that's the best option, as we all know, or do you stay and have a chance at saving your property? And the dilemma and the decision you make is very confusing, very hard, and with all the adrenaline, all of that going on, oftentimes people don't make the right decision.
Give us a sense of what it sounds like when you're surrounded by fires in the way that you were.
I have not heard anything like this. This is a different sound. This is a primeval sound. This is a sound of nature at its fury. You can hear rumblings. It's like if you are living next to a freeway and there's constant traffic, multiply that about 20 times, something howling through, and you can't quite place where it's coming from. This horrible, horrendous noise, almost as if there is something coming towards you that you have absolutely no control over. And that, I think, is the scariest.
Ed, you've been a foreign correspondent. You've been in war zones. How does this experience compare?
Let me put it this way, Eleanor. I was scared to my bones. I have never been so scared in my life. The war zones are one thing. You are a reporter. You are somehow removed from the action. Here, you are part of it. You are in it. This is your community. And that is a completely different feeling. You are scared to your wit's end. You do not know how to react. You are not in control. You are it. You are at the center of it. You are the story. And that is an uncomfortable place to be.
And of course, you faced that decision yesterday. Catastrophic fire warnings. The fire was heading for you yet again. Why did you stay and what happened last night?
That's right. So, yes. So what we did was we debated, do we stay or do we go? Now, in the process of all this, what happened was friends of ours drove up from Sydney. two friends of ours, Jack and Steve Rover from Sydney, and said, we will stay with you. So that gave us some confidence, firstly. Secondly, we had the rural fire service guy saying, most of the fuel had been burnt around your property. It is highly unlikely that you will get a fire. Now, when you're in the midst of a catastrophic fire warning and someone telling you it's highly unlikely, you are literally grasping at straws here. You're looking for any excuse. You're going, okay, fine, maybe we can get away with this. With the help of friends, with the help of neighbors, and the fact that we had actually prepared ourselves, we cleared all the remaining debris, we filled up our tanks with water, we had all the water stations in place, we had people standing on every end of the property waiting to see if anything changing. And on balance, we decided we will stay because, like I said, the fuel had been burnt off. The rural fire service guys, who would be much experienced, more experienced than me, said, yes, you could probably stay. On balance, we decided to stay, and as it turned out, it was probably the best decision.
What happened last night?
Last night was probably the most tense moments of my life, one of the most tense moments of my life. You know the point where you're waiting for something you know is bad? You know that everybody's told you that this is going to be bad, and you know that you've made probably a foolish decision to hang around. So we waited. We were told we were going to get a nor'westerly wind coming in at something like 60 kilometers an hour. We were told to expect to ember attacks. Now, when you are sitting in a pile of smoke, and that's what it is. It is a foggy, smoky day. You can't see beyond about 20 meters. You have no idea what the wind is doing. You have no idea where the fire is going. You have no idea if anything's coming your way. So you're sitting in this sort of semi-dark, foggy sort of atmosphere, breathing in God knows what, and you're still wondering which way does anything happen? Do we know anything is moving? So you look for signs. You see embers flying around. You can't see embers in the daytime. You wait for the nighttime. So we waited and waited and waited and waited, and luckily nothing happened. We could see plumes of smoke coming out of Upper Lansdowne to the east. We could see plumes of smoke coming out of the northern parts, which were probably Wauchope and places like that. We could see plumes of smoke out near Wingham, which is to the south of us. In fact, we were surrounded by fires. And in as dusk came down, you could see red sky, which obviously told you that there were fires going off not far from us. And we looked at the RFS app online, and you could see that the closest fire was 5 kilometers away. And you and I know 5 kilometers is not enough to run a fire, to outrun a fire. So that was the situation last night. It was a wait and watch just on tenterhooks. And I think that probably spends a lot more energy of you than actually fighting a fire, because in this instance, it's that sort of coiled up, your whole body, your physique and your emotional sense are all coiled up. And that probably expends a lot more energy doing that than actually physically doing something. And that was the hardest part.
Is it over for you now? Are you out of the danger zone?
Not quite. We are out of the danger zone because it is cool down today. The winds are in the right direction today. And most of the fires around us have been downgraded to a watch and act. So in that sense, it's okay. But the prediction is that in coming days, the day after tomorrow, for instance, the temperature is going to go back up to 34 degrees and winds are going to come back to some extraordinary levels. And the bushfires, the fires that are still smoldering away in the bush out there, that could easily flare up and bring it back up again. So I think this is what's going to be the case for hundreds of thousands of people across New South Wales and Queensland, where we'd be all waiting to see what the wind is doing. And unless you have a torrential downpour that will put all this out, we will be on tenterhooks for a long, long time.
Ed, it is so good to hear your voice. Before I let you go, I just want to hear how Cheryl coped with everything.
Cheryl coped magnificently. She was on tenterhooks most of the time. She was struggling, partly because the girls, had to be told what was going on, partly because we had no communication with the outside world. Let me tell you, we had no internet, we had no telephones. The only communication, the only bit of news we had was ABC Radio. And God thank the ABC Radio for having that service going. Every bit of information we got from that was useful. It was clear, it was concise. There was no internet. There were no phones. The only communication to the outside world was ABC radio. And the old steam radio, a transistor radio that I picked up in India a long, long time ago, working on batteries, was the only thing we had. We had no electricity, nothing. And the ABC radio was the lifeline. It gave us information that we needed. It was perfect. I cannot thank them enough. The other people I cannot thank enough is the Rural Fire Service. Without the Rural Fire Service, we would not be talking today, Eleanor. I can tell you that. This house would not be standing. This community would not be standing. I don't know how we can thank them. These are people who are volunteers, who spend their time and effort to come out and help people in the community. I cannot say how much I am thankful to them for saving this place and for looking after this community. If this nation has any honor to give them, the highest in the land, give it to them, the Rural Fire Service.
That's former ABC journalist Edmund Roy speaking about his ordeal from his home on the mid-north coast of New South Wales. And Ed says he will be forever grateful to the New South Wales Rural Fire Service and their courageous volunteers.